It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. Addiction in the workplace is a growing problem. OSHA reports that nearly 75% of individuals with alcohol or other drug problems are employed or active in the workforce. But a Pittsburgh-based organization called Power is offering advice to employers. I'm joined now in Studio A by Rosa Davis. She is Executive Director of Power, which is especially focused on women in recovery. Rosa Davis, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh. How are you?
Thanks, Paul. I'm great.
How big a problem is addiction in the workplace?
It's a significant problem. Consider that 2 out of 3 families are impacted by drug and alcohol problems. And surprisingly, maybe most people would be surprised to know, because of negative stereotypes and just negative attitudes in general, that most people who struggle with a drug and alcohol addiction are gainfully employed, which equates to millions of people in the workforce with problem drinking and drug using. And as you said, OSHA reports that as many as 75% of people with drug and alcohol problems are employed. We see it at Power all the time. Women who come to us for help who've had careers, high achievers, career goals and aspirations, and who've lost everything because of their addiction.
And how much of the addiction is related to what might be going on in the workplace, or is it mainly something that is happening outside of the job situation?
That's a good question. It's probably both. It can be both. I mean, I think stressors in people's lives, untreated addiction certainly plays out in the workplace. Sometimes the stress of a job can, if not create, certainly make a situation worse. But whether the drug or alcohol use happens on the job or off the job, it's going to carry in at some point.
And are people in denial about their addiction? How much of a part of the problem is that?
Sure. Lots of folks are in denial. The employee themselves may not even know they have a problem. They could be in complete, full-blown denial. When you think about, we have an employee at Power who now is in recovery 20 years or more, but she says she was a heavy heroin and alcohol user, but had the same job for many, many years.
And how do you? I have to wonder. Alcohol is bad enough, but heroin. Mm-hmm. And holding down a job, how do you even do that?
Right. It's amazing, but there are lots of folks who are functional, which I think adds to the denial. The higher functioning you are, the more your life seems to be in order, the easier it is to not accept that maybe you have a problem. And by the way, the employers are in denial as well. If you're not paying attention to the signs and symptoms, the impact on the company, you can be in denial, which makes it all the harder to address.
So if the bottom line is being met, then the employer might not have an incentive to address the problem?
Maybe. And I'm also wondering, though, if they're not aware that the bottom line is actually being impacted. It's estimated that $250 billion it costs the economy because of substance use problems at the workplace. So there's a human cost and an economic cost. But I think the denial is more about the discomfort we still have in talking about it. If you think about a time that you've known someone you were worried about or suspected something about, and the stress about, do I say something? And now you're talking about a coworker, right? So do I say something? What if I'm wrong? Are they going to be angry? Are they going to be offended? Do I go to my supervisor? If I do, will they lose their job? Even if there's not this compassionate or concern or response, does a coworker's lack of productivity impact my work? And so there's a lot of stress and anxiety on the job because of folks who use and aren't getting the help. And what do you do? How do you address it?
And how do you recognize the signs? If a person is, hiding this, then what are the telltale indications that there's a problem here that needs to be addressed?
Right. So often it plays out in the workplace with absenteeism. I read somewhere that alcoholism actually causes over 500 million lost work days a year. Absenteeism, disappearances, somebody's at their desk and all of a sudden they're not and you don't see them. Low productivity, conflicts with employees. Sometimes they can be very competent at their job but have a lot of conflicts or get into altercations with other staff. But often it's accident-related injuries on the job. It's a lack of productivity. It's absenteeism, calling off a lot without notice.
But a lot of people work from home. So I'm guessing that would make it difficult to kind of stay on top of what's happening with somebody, wouldn't it?
Yeah, that's a really interesting challenge. I think so. In that case, maybe it's the quality of the work that's being produced, maybe the inability to reach that person at home, because often when you're working from home, you still need to be available for conference calls or meetings. And so, yeah, I think a little bit less obvious, maybe at least physically to your coworker, certainly if you're working at home. But maybe the supervisor or the employer recognizes that the work product is changing or deteriorating, or the person's not as available as they were. So there's still, you know, there's still some signs that something's not right.
We're talking with Rosa Davis. She's executive director of Power, which is an organization, a Pittsburgh-based organization, offering advice to employers with regard to employees who are dealing with alcohol or drug-related problems and are still active in the workforce. We kind of got on this a little bit earlier, but you know, what kinds of problems does this create for employers?
There's a huge economic cost. In addition to the human cost, there's a huge economic cost. And so there's every reason to really invest in addressing the problem. In addition to, we talked already about the increased medical cost and absenteeism and lack of productivity. What about retention and turnover? There's a significant cost to turnover. It costs to recruit, train, hire people. And so, you know, when there's a high turnover because of alcohol and drug problems, then you're spending that money all over again. And what about a valuable employee who really is adding value to your company and you want to support in getting some help? So there is a cost, but fortunately there's some solutions to preventing and addressing the issue at the workplace.
And how should the employee be confronted? You know, do you threaten them? Do you try to, you know, should the employer try to counsel them and show genuine concern and kind of approach it that way? You know, what do you do?
Right. And that's why training is so important, particularly for supervisors and managers, because it's not an easy conversation to have. So my advice is to be as non-judgmental as possible, as objective as possible, to come at it from a place of genuine concern, but very unapologetic, very matter of fact. Listen, I'm concerned. This is what I see. Keep it related to the job performance, the work, if you can, unless there are super obvious signs like someone comes in reeking of alcohol. But usually it's what we talked about. It's starting to miss work. It's starting to be behind with work. It's behavior that makes you feel uncomfortable, makes you wonder. And so it really being calm, genuinely concerned, matter of fact, I need to ask you. Is this what's happening? And be prepared, because a person may be angry, may be defensive. And again, it's important not to be apologetic and to say, I needed to ask, so I'm glad to hear that's not the issue. Is there something else going on? Well, then let's talk about the work and how you're going to improve. If that problem progresses, then there are resources that probably should be shared. And, you know, this is where I think large companies, they don't have a problem with this. The large corporations are going to have good programs in place to address this issue. It's small businesses. It's
what is the obligation of the employer? You know, do they – is there something that says that they owe it to the employee to help them deal with the problem before they say, if you don't get your act together, we're going to fire you? Because I'm guessing years ago it might have been a little bit of a less enlightened approach than we have today.
Right, right.
So I mean, does the employer owe that to the employee, or can he, or does the employer have every right to say, you know what, I'm tired of seeing you walk in here drunk. You're gone. You're done. Right. You're fired.
So the Americans with Disabilities Act protects alcoholism, so people who suffer from alcoholism. So it's important for an employer to know those laws and to get access to a good HR professional or a labor lawyer. So there are some protections for people that struggle with alcoholism, for sure, who've been diagnosed with alcoholism. So yeah, it's important for both an employee to know what their rights are, because that may free them up to be more open and to ask for help, like say at an EAP program, mm-hmm. and for the employer to know what they can and can't do. And certainly your own policies are really important. What do you have in place? What do you say is your position on alcohol or drug use in the workplace?
And what exactly do you do when you work with employers? What are you doing or telling them?
So at Power, what we're prepared to do is just help people talk about this. And we're happy to go into a company and do a presentation for staff on a drug and alcohol addiction. What are the signs? What are the symptoms? What are some of the resources? We certainly are a resource, at least for women in our community who need an assessment. At Power, we see about 1,000 women a year with this problem. So we can be a resource. We can provide employers with other resources in the community. Give some advice about just even some really basic steps from having a good policy, making sure that you offer training and education, maybe drug testing.
We've been talking with Rosa Davis. She is Executive Director of Power, which is a Pittsburgh-based organization that works with that helps companies deal with their employees who are having alcohol or other problems. And she also, her organization is especially focused on women in recovery. Rosa Davis visiting with us here in Studio A. Thank you so much for being with us today on Essential Pittsburgh. We appreciate it.
Thanks, Paul.
And thank you for listening to Essential Pittsburgh on 90.5 WESA. You can catch the entire show online at WESA.FM or as a podcast in iTunes. Until tomorrow, I'm Paul Guggenheimer. So long for now.